Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News. Earlier this month, the Wet'suwet'en, along with the David Suzuki Foundation, called for a work stop order for the Coastal GasLink pipeline currently being built in Northwest BC. This followed the discovery of construction at a worksite near Terrace on Wet'suwet'en territory that had resulted in the destruction of parts of the Chlor River, a tributary of the Skeena and home to critical populations of Chinook and Steelhead, as well as other salmon species. Following the publication of images showing the level of disturbance to the Chlor, which CGL was trying to divert to dig a trench to lay a section of the 700-kilometer pipe on its way to the LNG Canada terminal in Kitimat, an investigation by the BC Oil and Gas Commission has been initiated, although work continues. Tebasa of the Laksamisu clan and Chief Namox of the Wet'suwet'en are outraged at the condition of the Chlor and fear it will never recover. We speak to them today about why the Chlor is so important to the Wet'suwet'en people and how they plan to ensure these incidents don't continue to happen, although they admit this isn't the first time they've seen this. Stay with us.
Well, my English name is Lillian Wilson. My hereditary name is Tebasa. I come from the Laksamisu clan, which is killer whale fireweed, and I am Wet'suwet'en, and I am one of the caretakers of the area in question, which is the Chlor crossing.
Great, Lillian. Thanks so much for being with us. Obviously, the images that have now surfaced about what has been going on at the Chlor River there and CGL digging a huge hole in the river to divert the river, it looked pretty destructive. So maybe tell me a little bit about how you felt when you first saw it, when you first heard about it, and what has happened since. Is there any way that you're able to monitor what is going on there?
Okay, so when we flew over, I was actually pretty surprised to see what was happening there. And part of the reason for that was because previously some CGL reps had come out and spoken to me and explained that they would not be doing anything over the winter season because they weren't sure how they were going to get the pipe across the river. They hadn't made that decision, nor had they made the decision about how they were going to get the pipeline from that area to Kitimat because the terrain was too rough. So I was surprised, which that alone is surprising because CGL has really done nothing but provide us with lies about what their intents are and what they're going to be doing. And seems like at every step they take, it's always something else. And we find that really problematic, especially within our clan. Like, if you want to have any kind of meaningful consultation, you should be able to stand on a foundation of honesty, bare minimum, to be able to start any kind of relationship. And because we've constantly had these various lies told to us, like we just stepped out of that process of consultation right from the beginning. So what we're basically saying is that we have never given any kind of permission whatsoever for CGL or any other company to go on to our territory and build right-of-ways, build pipelines, to do anything like that. So what can we do about it? I don't know. I feel like this is a project that, you know, it was not based on any kind of true meaningful consultation. The company itself has gone in the back doors through our local band councils and promised monies there. And of course, when you go to such, you know, our people are so vulnerable just in terms of poverty and whatnot, that any amount of money would be a good amount of money, you know, especially when you've had to live in such conditions. But with that being said, my standpoint is we never condoned it in the first place, and there's never been any kind of meaningful talks. We've never been able to ask questions that we've wanted to ask. And I'm supposing that even if we were able to get answers, because we've been lied to so much, it's just a tough thing to say how things could have been different. But it sure would be nice that they would just have the courtesy to stop. We would never walk into anybody else's home and just take over their home the way CGL has our territory.
I guess the last thing for you, Lillian, you know, when you first saw that, you know, how did it make you feel? And the other thing is, you know, what does the Chlor River mean to the Wet'suwet'en people and to your clan?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of the Wet'suwet'en people, but I can say for our clan, because we have such a rich history, just through our stories, that the Chlor Crossing is such an important part of our clan. And in terms of how I felt when I flew over, I felt really, like I said earlier, I felt really surprised to see the destruction that was happening. And just to be honest, I felt quite angry and just incredibly disheartened. The images that were actually going through my head was just months before this, my grandson and I were walking across that bridge and we were praying and singing some of our hereditary songs. And I basically just had this little quick visual that my grandson was not going to have a future up there. And that's what actually led to my feeling of anger, was that I can't believe this is happening. And I basically, you know, I want our future generations to be able to consider this place as, you know, as our ancestors did, that this was a very special place.
That was Tebasa of the Laksamisu clan of the Wet'suwet'en. Up next, we'll hear from Chief Namox.
I am Chief Namox of the Tsayu clan of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, and I am currently in Sekya, Higelget.
Namox, thanks so much for being with us again. The other week we saw the news break of the Coastal GasLink pipeline construction trying to trench the river, the Chlor River near Terrace, but they were trying to divert the river first without any protections. Low down on the river to protect sediment and salmon habitat. It sounds like yourself, as well as another chief from the Wet'suwet'en and the David Suzuki Foundation, tried to bring some attention to this situation. Maybe give me a little bit of a background of what you found out and what you were told when this first happened.
Well, on January 8th, that's where we were notified that they were going into the river and trying to divert it, and they had no safety precautions in there for keeping any form of sediment out of the river. And it did get us, take us a couple of days to get a helicopter lined up. They're hard to get up this way. And we went in there and had a look. And by then they had some safety precautions in, but you could see the damage that was done. Like block off a river, pump it over into holding pools, and then release it. Meanwhile, you know, the sediment that's in there is killing off whatever eggs are in there, because that is what they need, that water flow. They need not to be smothered and drowned in all the sediment that's there. And that, I don't know, you know, when you have, they say they got their legally permitted work to do, but then who's watching over it? And when they do damage to rivers, water, streams, what kind of measures are in place to make sure that they don't do it, other than, hey, here's another warning, because they've been caught numerous times. And as far as we see, the more they get away with it, the more they can use these types of work as a template to continue, because this is not the only pipeline targeted for northwestern BC.
Namox, I know that the Chlor River is a tributary of the Skeena. It's on Wet'suwet'en territory mostly. What does the Chlor River mean to you and to the Wet'suwet'en people?
It's absolutely pristine, or was until they went in there, you know, allowed by the province and the federal government. But ourselves, we didn't stay up there all year round because it is such an unstable area. We get earthquakes out there. We get avalanches. You know, it is prone to floods. And for them to think that they could put a pipeline in there, there's never been a pipeline on this planet built in that type of terrain. And for them to put that type of money and work into it without even knowing that it can be completed, you know, right now, that company, TC Energy, is looking for another $2 to $3 billion to complete that project. Is that going to be British Columbia and Canada paying? Like, that is the public's money. They should be well aware of the damage that is happening and what their money is going to. You know, our elected officials got to be held accountable. You know, and these agencies that are supposed to monitor the work, they should be held accountable for allowing these things to continue.
Now, Namox, I know this isn't the first time that foul has been called on CGL over the past couple of years in constructing this pipeline. Recently, before this incident, there was also some alarm around Lamprey Creek. There was some blasting done there, similar to the idea of trying to put the pipe across through that intersection of that waterway. You know, what does this feel like to you? You know, you guys have been dealing with this for several years, in having to, you know, see this happen, but also getting not a whole lot of response from the companies, especially from the regulators. It seems that they come in, there's a slap on the wrist, a little bit of money in terms of fines, but when you have a multi-billion dollar project, those fines seem pretty minimal for the type of damage that's going on. So where are you at with that, and what are the calls that you're trying to bring attention to hopefully see some of this dealt with, because they do still have quite a lot of pipeline to put in the ground in some of the, you know, toughest terrain here in the Northwest?
Absolutely. I think the public needs to be aware of exactly what you said. You know, they started off as, what, a $6.6 billion project. Then it skyrocketed to $11.2 billion, and they still need another $2 to $3 billion to complete it. And for that there, and, you know, for them to take shortcuts and just damage everywhere that they go, no accountability, as you said, very minimal fines, and no stop work orders until these things are fixed and properly addressed. What should happen is stop work. Make sure that if you're going to do any form of work, it's done right. And make sure that you're not leaving a mess. If you can go into river systems, you talked about Lamprey Creek, you talked about the Chlor. Now, you go in there and you damage them. Those things do not come back overnight. Those things take decades. And that the only way they come back is by leaving it alone. People have to realize, because it is out there on the territory, that maybe it's out of sight, out of mind. But the very fact that it's happening is a template to happen everywhere, because those are the standards that are set, and those are the ones that these ministries will stand by, and also the government.
After you and others sounded the alarm about this situation with the Chlor River, there is an investigation that is ongoing, but it's not the usual provincial regulator, the EAO office, the Environmental Assessment Office, doing the investigation. It's the Oil and Gas Commission that's taking a look at this situation and investigating. How do you feel about that, the other regulator, oil and gas regulator, taking this over instead of the EAO?
Well, again, my initial thoughts when I found out, here's the fox watching the hen house. You know, it's the same thing with the RCMP. They have their own internal when they do reviews and assessments, and that is themselves monitoring themselves. And that is an unfair process. Like, you know what the outcome will be. Simply, as you stated, a slap on the wrist and then, you bad people, but hey, continue. We won't stop you. That's my opinion of them actually assigning who looks into these infractions. Why aren't we involved? Why do they get to pick and choose exactly who they have to monitor, who they have to go through the reports, make sure the standards are being upheld? ourselves, we go out there to do the monitoring because they're not doing their job. We get harassed when we go onto the side road to go and check on things. Obviously, they are working hand in hand, and no matter what they say.
Obviously, this is a pretty devastating situation for the Corps in particular. During this time, we do often see that there are reds, that there are salmon eggs that are still in tributaries and in rivers like the Clore. But where do we go from here? This work is ongoing. It looks like that, as you mentioned, there is some sort of protections downstream for erosion, for sediment, although it looks pretty small, but it's there. I know there's still calls to have this work stop order, but what comes next? What do you think can be done to either improve some of this oversight or at least get the company to put in more protections, because there are a few more of these river crossings that will need to take place before this project is complete?
Well, exactly. Number one, we as a hereditary chief will never agree to this project. We know what the damages are. I think right now the public should be made aware. Their voice should be heard. And actually, they should be made well aware of the damages, not told a month later or say that we are now mitigating it after the damage. All of this work should have been done. Their permits, if properly monitored, this work should have been done previously to know the extent of the damages done to the rivers, to the salmons, to the trout, all of it. You can't have projects such as this go through and do all the damage they are. Because you know what? I said it earlier, it is a template. It'll be in your back door next because it is at our back door right now.
Namox, we'll leave it there for now, but I thank you again for your time. We'll speak again, I'm sure. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.